Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. We're so grateful that you guys would join us tonight. Guys, look, we have a very, very, very special podcast tonight, a very special guest. If you guys heard and seen him on my show before, Jonathan Kahn, he is amazing. His revelation, the anointing on his life is just mind-blowing. I was reading his book today, and I just could not believe the stuff that the Lord shows him. He has such a powerful anointing on his life. Jonathan Kahn, thank you so much for being on tonight. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I'm here on the other side of the East Coast here, and it's a blessing to be back with you. You know, and again, our story begins at an airport in the middle of America, and it was a blessing ever since.
So if you guys don't know, the way that we met, well, before he knew who I was, I knew who he was, and I was in an airplane flying to Tennessee to preach at a church, and he was flying to preach at actually a friend of mine's church at an event, and I saw some lady in the airplane saying, Jonathan Kahn, can I get a picture? So I looked around, and I think you might have been a two rows or a couple rows in front of me, and I saw him get up, and I said, hey, I know him, and so I got out of the plane, and I started chasing him down in the airport, and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I don't want to be one of those people, but... can I get a picture? I think we have some mutual friends. We talked for just a few moments. We got a picture. And then, I don't know, maybe a few months went by and Charisma reached out to me to have you on the show to talk about your book. And we became friends. And I loved having you on the show. And it all started right there in that airport in Tennessee.
Yeah. And I was so blessed to find out about it when I spoke to Charisma. They said, oh, yeah, Isaiah, he's wonderful. I said, he's the guy at the airport. And then that's how it began. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on. If you guys don't know who Jonathan Kahn is, he leads Beth Israel at the Jerusalem Center in Wayne, New Jersey. He also runs Hope of the World Ministry, which is a world outreach ministry that's helping so many people that are needy around the world. He's spoken at the United Nations, Capitol Hill, spoken to Congress, and has reached over 100 million people on YouTube. And I love some of my favorite videos he's done is messages to the president. So he'll put out these videos addressing President Joe Biden, and they go completely viral. They're powerful. I know that the presidents have seen these. There's no way they haven't because they've gone so viral, and they're powerful. They're messages of repentance, messages calling America back to the place of prayer, back to the place of worship. And so, man, your ministry is just so powerful. It's touched, I know, a lot of people in the chat. It's touched my life, and you're just a blessing to the body of Christ. So I honor you. I value what God is doing in your life. I thank you for being on. And tonight we want to talk about his recent book that's become, and this is amazing because I looked at it today on Amazon, number one book in the world, not just in the Christian category. I know some of you are like, well, it's just in the Christian. No, this is the number one book on Amazon for all books, for all book categories. And that is The Dragon's Prophecy. And to me, I was thinking, Jonathan, how amazing is it that the number one book on Amazon, which of course is not a Christian platform, the number one book is a Christian book. I mean, that is amazing that it's become the number one bestseller on all of Amazon. And the Lord is just using The Dragon's Prophecy to reach millions and millions of people. And I wanted to know, just to start, why do you think that right now that this book, The Dragon's Prophecy, which we're going to talk about, has become the number one bestselling book in America? Because I don't think it's by chance. I think the timing is just right for what we're seeing in America. But what are your thoughts on how it's becoming and why a number one bestseller right now?
Yeah, I think this was definitely the Lord's choice to do it because it wasn't mine. I did not plan on this book. I was planning on doing the sequel to The Return of the Gods, and the Lord interrupted me. And I really prayed. I was actually going back and forth. We have the same publisher, going back and forth. Should I do this? And I'm praying, and the Lord really led it. So I knew it was for now. And I think because number one, so much is happening in the world, and so much looks like it's falling apart. There's that sense, even among unbelievers, that people are saying, what's going on? Is there a reason? Is there something behind this? Believers are saying, I do know there's a reason. I may not know exactly what it is, but I know we're moving ahead. So these are really, truly prophetic times. And, critical times, dangerous times, and very much with prophecy. And I think there's a spiritual thing going on. You know, when I got the thing about, I didn't know this, when I got the picture of the dragon, which is the enemy, in my mind when I was praying. That's what I got. And then I knew what the book was to be. I had no idea when I started writing it. It was called the year. This year is the year of the dragon. You know,
wow.
This was also, you know, once every 70 years, there's a meteor that comes by the Earth. It was this year. It's called Mother of Dragons Comet. And all these dragons started, images of dragons started appearing all over New York City this year. All these things started happening. But, you know, it's kind of like saying this is the moment for it because so much is happening in the Middle East, Israel, prophecy, America. So I believe it's because it's the moment that God, and by the way, Isaiah, I never had so much spiritual warfare against a book, as you can imagine, trying to stop a book from coming out. So all the more I know it is for now and it is for God's people and also people who don't know the Lord.
Amazing. And one of the things that when I was reading your book this last week that I was amazed by is a lot of people think the devil is just some secluded place. He's not really doing anything in the world. He's not really relevant. And your book really exposes how the devil is working in the world, how he's active in the world, how he's scheming. You talk about like the wiles of the devil, the plans, the strategies of the devil. Now, the book, The Dragon's Prophecy, can you explain quickly just as we get started, the dragon? Me and you know who the dragon is, but for those that are watching live, there's about 2,500 people, which amazing watching right now. Well, who is the dragon? How does the dragon play into this whole book? Because the premise is the very beginning of the book starts with talking about and explaining the dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. The dragon is a symbol in the Bible used of to speak of the enemy, also called in Hebrew. His name is originally Hebrew, Hasatan, which becomes Satan. And this means the opposer. This is an angelic being that has fallen and that is twisted and inverted and exists to destroy the purposes of God. So you have that on one side. And then on the other side, you have a nation that God brought into the world to accomplish his purposes, bring his word into the world, Israel, the Jewish people, bring Messiah into the world, bring the kingdom into the world. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you're going to have a war and it's going to be the dragon, you know, who hates all. But he's going to especially oppose the nation of Israel because they were put on earth to accomplish God's will. So So what do we see in history? It's not an accident that the Jewish people have become the most hated people, the most persecuted, the most slandered, the most vilified, the most everything, not just now, ancient times, medieval times, now times. You know, this is all part of an ancient war. And it doesn't die because the enemy doesn't die. And in Revelation, you've got a picture of it. You have actually literally a dragon, a red dragon, warring against a woman with 12 stars as Israel had, giving birth to the Messiah. She gives birth to the Messiah. That's only Israel. And the thing is that that's exactly what has happened to this day, up to what's happening in the Middle East right now. Though, you know, Israel has always tried to have peace. It never does because this dragon doesn't die. The first anti-Semite is an angel, a fallen, twisted angel. That's why it's here. And he knows if he can destroy the Jewish people, he can destroy the purposes of God and stop the kingdom. He can't, but he still tries. So that is what we are watching. What happened, you know, in October, what happened with Hamas, and all, that's all part of an ancient war that goes way beyond before we were ever born.
That's so good. And your book talks about one of the mysteries in the book is the invasion of Israel by Hamas, how it would happen. Talk to us a little bit about how that invasion is part of this prophetic timeline. And one thing I want to point out as well, there's so many questions that we have about these events. And it's interesting how Bible prophecy foretells so many of these events. And even as I'm reading your book, it just seems to be that so much stuff happening in the world makes sense. And it's not as random as we think. I think we think the attacks on Israel are these random attacks, but they're not. They're biblical. They're prophetic. They've been going on, as you say in your book, for thousands of years. The enemies of God have been attacking the nation of Israel, have been attacking the people of Israel. And it's 2024 and it's still happening. It's been happening for thousands of years. And as you said, it exemplifies the existence of evil, the existence of Satan and his hatred. Since even, like I taught last night in my live stream about the people of Israel coming out of Egypt and the Egyptians continually attacking them. Well, this is still going on. Thousands of years later, the children of Israel, God's people, are still being attacked. So yeah, talk to us a little bit about this invasion and how this is relevant when you discuss this.
Yeah, and can you imagine that? That's a great point. Imagine this is one news story that goes back to the pharaohs. Wow. You know, it's like Israel is still always in the news, but it goes back, you know, all the way. So absolutely. Yeah, well, this is totally, there are mysteries behind this. It's kind of like, the dragon's prophecy is kind of like taking away veils. So you see what's happening in the world is actually the whole spiritual prophetic reality behind it. And when you see it, it makes sense. So it's uncovering a veil. Example, and one of the things that started the book is that It was a Friday night here in New Jersey at my congregation, Beth Israel. And I was to share, I had to share a message. I was led that night to share a message about a mystery from Leviticus. And that mystery, not that I knew all these things, but that mystery ordained that there would be an attack on Israel. It would take Israel by surprise. It would happen in the year 2023. Wow. Would happen in the autumn. Specifically, it would happen, it would take place in October of 2023. Would happen on a Saturday, the Sabbath day. Would take place on a Hebrew, ancient Hebrew holy day from Leviticus. It would happen, it would happen altogether on the first Saturday of October of 2023. That's the mystery. I shared that on Friday night. The next morning it happened. And wow, people who were at the service said, you were just talking about this mystery. And the thing is that this, after the book, after I finished writing the manuscript of the Dragon's Prophecy, about three other events happened in the world according to that same mystery. This mystery may be one that actually tells us, enables us to know things that are going to happen and when, because God is in charge. So there is so much behind it, so many ancient things behind it that are unfolding according to prophecy and the mysteries of God.
That's so good. And if you don't mind me asking, Jonathan, how long have you been into studying Bible prophecy, writing about Bible prophecy? Is this something the Lord brought you to in recent years, or is this something you've been doing for a long time?
Well, it's a mix. I've been reading about Bible prophecy since before I was a believer, because the first book I picked up was that really changed my thinking. I was an atheist when I read this book. It was actually The Late Great Planet Earth, very big book back in the way back. And that was all about biblical prophecy. That changed. So I was always looking for it. But the interesting thing is that of all my books, you know, my books are, I would say, prophetic and uncovering mysteries, but I never got so much. There's no book. This is The Dragon's Prophecy, the first book that really getting into the realm of how these mysteries are part of end time prophecy. What was actually written and foretold for the end of days, why we're seeing things move ahead and we're crossing critical lines. So this is the first book, I mean, that really does that. So I was led again now, and because I always want to be real careful that what I'm doing is, you know, that I'm doing what God wants and not just putting my interpretation on things. And so this is really the book. I've spoken about it at Beth Israel. I'm into prophecy. You know, I believe into prophetic things. You know, I believe the Jewish people are supposed to be a prophetic people. You know, we exist at certain times. I'll come back. So, but this is the first book that I really open it up.
It's so good. And that's so powerful. I want to talk a little bit about, you talk about the secret of the Sea of Peoples. And some of this stuff, guys, it might sound deep. Hang on with us. Buckle your seatbelt, because he's going to break it down. And I also want to make something clear. I don't think I did this in the beginning. The book goes way in depth on a lot of the stuff. We're going to go for about an hour. Of course, we cannot cover the depth the book goes. The book is about 75 chapters, but they're easy to digest chapters, and that's what I like about it, because they're real easy to digest. If you want to go deeper on this stuff, guys, it's impossible. If we did a 10-hour stream, we couldn't cover all of it. So we're going to touch on some of these points, but if you feel a little bit confused, you got to get the book. You got to read in depth on some of this stuff. We're just going to cover some of these topics, but talk to us a little bit about the Sea of Peoples.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you're kind of alluding to, the chapters are very short. so we say 75. It's not necessarily a long book, but and by the way, Isaiah, I've done an interview like 6 hours on this, and I did not get, you know, there's more. So yeah, we're just giving it a taste. Okay, the Sea Peoples. It says the mystery of the Sea Peoples. Put it again. Get into the spiritual the vision of this. The enemy is an imitator. He imitates God. He tries to be as God. It's all false, but that's what he does. So what did God do? God resurrected an ancient nation and brought it back into the modern world, which was Israel. That's according to all the prophecies, he resurrected this ancient nation. So what is the enemy going to do? He's going to resurrect another ancient nation. And what nation? Well, he's the enemy. So it's going to be an enemy nation, a nation that was an enemy of Israel, to bring them back to fight God's resurrection. I mean, that's exactly what he would do. And he did it because it's not about the people. We love all people. We pray for all people, and they don't know what they're doing. They're being used. But what people were the ancient enemies of Israel, the arch enemies? They were called the Philistines, you know, David and Goliath, you know, Saul, Samson, all that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that could he resurrect them? Well, they already did. The people in the world who the world knows of, and this is actually used against Israel, They were called the Palestinians. You know what Palestinian means? The word Palestinian literally means the Philistines. The Philistines. Mm. Do you know how Palestinians say it? They don't say English Palestinian. They call themselves in Arabic, the Philistini people, the Philistine people.
Wow.
And so literally. So the thing is, the amazing thing is, as God was resurrecting Israel, at every step, this other resurrection starts. As they start coming into the world, this Philistine resurrection starts coming at every moment. In fact, you know where the Philistines used to dwell? It was a place in the Bible called Pilashet. It was like their headquarters. Some of your Bibles might say Philistia. Well, the thing is, it actually exists today, but it has a new name. The name it's called today is, ancient Philistia is called the Gaza Strip. So the Gaza Strip is literally the land of the Philistines. And the thing is, here's another thing. The Gaza Strip did not exist. It suddenly came back into existence. It came into existence when, in 1948, the very year Israel was resurrected, the Gaza Strip was resurrected. And so the Israelite went back to the land of Israel. At the same moment, the people called Philistine went back to the land of the Philistines. So now that's where they are. And in the Bible, from that land came a lot of evil out of that Philistine land, which was the Gaza Strip. And so everything that's happening is part of the replaying. It's an ancient mystery, literally replaying before the eyes of the world.
Wow. And I think people don't realize that Bible prophecy, I know this is going to make some of you mad, but Bible prophecy doesn't revolve around America. I know we think that as Americans, we're like, the whole world revolves around us, but Bible prophecy actually revolves around Israel. That's where Bible prophecy revolves around. That's where prophetic events take place. And so that's where we should be keeping our eyes when like really big events go on in that area. We know Bible prophecy is taking place. I want to ask you this. This is something just personally that I'm thinking about as somebody who's written these books that have to do with the end times, the last days, just from your candid perspective, what would you say to people that say we are or we aren't in the last days? Do you feel like we are in the last days? Like these events happening are end time events, last day events, where I feel like right now there's an urgency. Like this is not the time to play games. This is not the time to play church. When I see the events that you write about and the way they're connected to Bible prophecy, to me, Jonathan, it makes me want to be awake. It makes me want to pray. It makes me want to fast. It makes me want to make sure that I'm right with God, because we're at that time in human history where these things are unfolding, that these are unprecedented things. They've never taken place before. And so what are your thoughts on the fact that we're in, whether we want to say the last days or the end times?
Yeah, the Bible speaks of something in Hebrew, and it goes all the way back to Moses. People don't realize that. Speaking of what's called the Acharit HaYamim, or the days of the end, or the latter days, or the end of days. And the Bible gives very clear signs that you can know. You can have a checklist and know when you're in the end of days or the last days. Number one, it's got to be a world in which Israel wasn't there, but it came back into the world. Mm. Well, that's it. It has to be a world where the Jewish people not only came back to the land of Israel, they come back to Jerusalem. Well, that happened in 1967. It has to be a world in which the whole world is focused, strangely, on this little tiny New Jersey-sized land of Israel. That also makes no sense, but that is our world. It's a world where the nations are going to rage against this little nation, and where that nation is going to be attacked, and it's going to be like the center of controversy and the center of what could be World War III. Well, we're all there. And then on top of it, it says in the last days, there'll be a great falling away. We're watching apostasy every day. So the fact that you're watching apostasy on one hand, and then Israel on the other, it's all there. This is what God said. It wouldn't be anything else. It is exactly what God said.
So ladies and gentlemen, that's a wake-up call. That is sounding the alarm. Paul said that, wake up, that our salvation is nearer than we first believed. He says that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Put on the armor of light. This is the time for your family, for your friends. Start prayer meetings at your house. Start baptizing people in your bathtub. Start making disciples in your neighborhood. Start being involved in your local church. This is not the hour to play games. Maybe 100 years ago. But these signs, as Jonathan Cahn is saying, are apparent. They're everywhere. Israel has never been talked about so much as it has been in the last year or two. This is just every day on the news. Everybody's talking about it, whether you're for, whether you're against, it doesn't matter. What we know is we're living in an end time generation, a last days generation, and we need to be awake. And here's the thing. For those of you that aren't convinced, even if it's not the last days, it's your last days. We are all in our last days. We are all at the edge of eternity. We all are not promised tomorrow. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. We're just passing through, that life is so quick. And so even if you're not convinced that you need to be ready and awake, guys, tomorrow isn't promised to any of you. Life goes by so fast. You blink and you're you're in your older years. And so we all need to be ready for the Lord's return. We all need to be awake. We all need to be in urgency and in prayer. Don't be sitting around playing games. Don't be living the American dream, acting like God doesn't exist. This is a wake-up call for all of us. And another wake-up call was, as you talked about earlier, what happened on October 6th? How did the dragon's prophecy open up this ancient mystery about what happened? And how does October 7th play into the dragon's prophecy?
Yeah, the first thing is that, you know, in ancient times, the Philistines would invade the land of Israel from the Gaza Strip. They would launch invasions, and they would terrorize Israeli villages, and they would take Israelis hostage back to Gaza. Even the prophets condemn Gaza and say, because you took Israelis hostage. So this is all replaying. And even the place, you know, the Bible actually gives the place where the Philistines invaded from the Gaza Strip into Israel. And in the book, I kind of show where that is. There's kind of gives two names, and they overlap in this little spot of land in which was that Israeli music festival, that young people's festival, and the villages. So all this is part of that all this is part of that mystery. And it is again, there's so much to this, but it's like the enemy is using it, replaying the ancient game in order to attack Israel, destroy Israel if he could. He can't, but he'll do everything he can.
And what are your thoughts? This is kind of just off topic, not off topic, but off cuff here. What are your thoughts on, I'm just going to say how it is. I know we're going to make a lot of people in the chat mad. We don't care. We're going to speak the truth. It seems to be that the woke movement, especially in America, has incited this Free Palestine movement. And here's the thing. This is just the honest to God truth. You have one of the main backers of the Free Palestine movement is the LGBTQ+ community, which this has been said before, would be killed if they were in Gaza for one day. They would be killed. They would be not accepted. The law there says that these people need to be murdered. So what are your thoughts on this woke agenda in America rallying up hatred for Israel again? And I know people that are clueless about Bible prophecy, Israel, anything, and they hate Israel. And if you ask them why, they just say, well, we need a free Palestine. I'm like, you have no clue. Everyone's changing their profile pictures, inciting like never before a hatred towards Israel. It seems to be these people are uneducated when it comes to what Free Palestine means. And really, the people that are rallying this and championing this would be killed if they were in Palestine. Yet here they are parading through the streets with their rainbow flags, which we talked about a few episodes ago when I had you on. What are your thoughts on that whole thing? I'm just interested in your perspective on the Free Palestine movement.
Yeah. It is. It's part of this war, and it never makes sense. It's never rational because the reasons aren't natural. The reasons are supernatural. It's the enemy's reasons. And he just uses people. He uses pawns in every generation, whether it's Hitler on one side or Hamas on the other or the woke on the other. It doesn't matter. From the left, from the right, and people who would have nothing to do with each other, okay, which kind of goes with it. I mean, nothing to do with each other, yet they unite when the common cause is hating Israel and the Jewish people, because that is more basic. It is spiritual. It is from the dragon. And so people who would be enemies of each other all of a sudden will unite together if the common enemy is the Jewish people. So that's it. And the other thing is that, you know, it's so right. It also kind of identifies people who are not in the Lord. So it kind of tells you something about the woke movement. Of course, they inevitably have to come against Israel, because when you're off from God, you're going to end up, whether you're from the right or the left, you're going to end up being part of that hatred. And the other thing is that, you know, when you said Free Palestine, you know, they're chanting this all over. You know, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. Okay, that's calling for the destruction of Israel. Number one. Number two, it's a dead giveaway that the dragon, the enemy, is involved. His fingerprints are all over it. Because what does he do? He takes things of God and he twists them around so that they end up working to destruction. And so, what is that from? You know where it's from? And he's an imitator. You know where it's from? It's from the Bible. In the Bible, God gives the promise of the land to the children of Israel. And what does he say? Over and over and over again, he says, the land is given to you from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea, over and over. So the enemy takes the very words of God, twists them around to nullify the promise of God.
That's so good. And you also talk about that Hamas is actually in the Bible. I think most people don't realize Hamas appears in the Bible. Do you mind sharing a little bit about how the invasion of Israel from Hamas and the war going on, but specifically, how do we see Hamas in the scripture? Because when this came out, most people, including myself, had never heard of Hamas, right? We had heard of ISIS and these other Islamic extremist groups, but Hamas was something that most people in the modern world didn't know about. Now, of course, everybody in the world knows about who Hamas is, and everybody thinks that it's some new thing, that this is not an ancient thing, but you talk about there is an ancient mystery, and we actually see in biblical times Hamas. So why don't you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, the word Hamas is an Arabic acronym that means Islamic Resistance Movement. And it's also an Arabic word that means fervor and zeal. But it's one of these strange words that not only exists in Arabic, it's also a Hebrew word at the same moment. And in Hebrew, it doesn't mean zeal and fervor. In Hebrew, it means Hamas means evil, violence, death, and destruction. Wow. From ancient times, it meant that. And so that's what they're calling themselves. You know, now the thing is, it's actually in the Bible. In the Bible, you go read the if you read the Hebrew, it says, for instance, Lord, save me from the man of Hamas. It says in the Bible, it says Hamas has risen up in the land as a rod of evil. It says, and there's bloodshed in the land because of Hamas. It says in the Bible, you know how Hamas hides in the tunnels? It says in the Bible, Hamas dwells in the dark places of the earth.
Wow.
And then it says in the prophets, God says to Israel, rid Hamas from the land. And then it says in Isaiah, it gives the promise of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Messiah. When Jesus reigns, it says, in that day, Israel, no longer shall Hamas ever be heard in your land.
Wow. So we are quite literally living out prophecies that were written thousands of years ago. They're happening right before our eyes. And one thing that you're doing is most people might see and go, oh, this is new revelation you're writing. It's not. He's just revealing stuff that the Bible talked about and making it where we understand it, where we could really see the connections. What I see you doing is really connecting the dots where Bible prophecy is taking place now. And I noticed that in your book, it's full of scripture. It's all Bible there. But I think people might be mistaken thinking these are new revelations that are coming when they're actually not. These are ancient mysteries, as you call them in your book, that we're now seeing today. And guys, we have to choose to be blind and to close our eyes to it and follow what the media tells us, or to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and say, this is happening in the Bible, this is happening in scripture, and now it's happening today. We see these same things. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, literally, when we talked about your last two books, I just thought that the whole time you were sharing, I'm like, you literally can't make this up. This is so lined up with scripture, and it's almost scary how much the days line up. Like you were saying, you were talking about this the night before the invasion happened. You were basically foretelling the day and where it would be, and even to the music festival of the location. You can't make this stuff up. We are living in a time right now, a prophetic timeline. And so I believe now's the time. Again, this is a wake-up call. And I think all of your books, they lead people to repentance. They lead people to waking up, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to know you. Because this all actually does prove God's existence. These prophecies prove that there's something going on in the invisible realm. There is a God. There is a creator. And as your book talks about, there is a dragon who is Satan, who is the adversary, who is the enemy. The Bible talks about he's the enemy of our soul. He's the roaring lion seeking to devour us. But yeah, this makes it so much of this stuff clear. And you talk about as well, I wanted to have you share a little bit about the Jubilean mystery. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that and how that pertains to what's going on right now?
Yeah. One of the things is that God gave to Israel the Jubilee. And that means every 50th year, you would come back to if you lost your land, you come back into your land, you get it back. And so the amazing thing is that God, when he brought Israel back to its land, he used the mystery of the Jubilee to do it. And the thing is that I'll just give a very quick nutshell just to get an idea. Year 1867, which is one of these Jubilean years, in that year, the Sultan of Turkey he releases the land so the Jewish people can actually start redeeming the land back. That's 1867. Count 50 years to the Jubilee. What year is it? It's 1917. Anything happen? 1917, you know, anybody's on your land, they got to get off. Well, the Turks were on that land. In 1917, they fled the land because the British came in World War I, and the British issued the Balfour Declaration giving the land, promising it back to the original owner, the Jewish people. That's the Jubilee. But they didn't get Jerusalem, but their holy city. Count 50 years, it takes you to when? 1967. Anything happen? Six-day war, the third day of the six-day war, the soldiers of Israel enter the gates of their holy city for the first time in 2,000 years, and God restores Jerusalem back to the land of Israel. Jubilee, everyone shall return to their possession. And that's we should be thankful for that, because Jesus would only come when that happened. They have to be back in that city. But then the one thing is, when you come back in the Jubilee, you get not only you're the land, it's the legal right. It's yours. It's recognized. It's the legal right. The world refused to ever give that to Israel. The whole world says, we're not going to recognize Jerusalem. The only nation, they don't recognize the capital, including America. But count 50 years. 1967, it takes you to the Jubilee, which is 2017. Anything happen? 2017, America, under Donald Trump, issued the Jerusalem Declaration that declares Jerusalem as the legal possession of Israel eternally, first time since ancient times. And so everything happens perfectly. But the enemy, remember, is a mimic. He takes the things of God and he twists them around. So all this is blessing Israel. The enemy is going to take the Jubilee. He's going to twist it against Israel. And so the thing is this, he would take not a restoration, he would take a calamity. There is one calamity that was the greatest calamity in the history of Israel in modern times up until now, October 7th. It was called the Yom Kippur War. Israel was struck by surprise. It almost, in the natural, led to the destruction of the nation of Israel. In fact, the prime minister almost committed suicide. They thought it was the end of Israel. God turned it around. They ended up winning, but it shook them up to this day. It's considered a tragedy, and many people die. Well, the thing is, the enemy is going to take that, and he's going to turn it into the devil's jubilee.
Wow.
What happens if you take that calamity and count 50 years? It happened in 1973. That takes you to the year, it pinpoints the year 2023 for this jubilee. And so what happened? Well, in 1973, they invaded Israel by surprise. So there's going to be another invasion of Israel by surprise in 2023. When did the Yom Kippur invasion happen? Month of October. That's going to say the devil's jubilee is going to happen in the month of October. The Yom Kippur invasion took place on a Saturday. So this devil's jubilee is going to happen on a Saturday, on the Sabbath of Israel. The Yom Kippur invasion took place on a Hebrew holy day that went back to Leviticus 23, one that God gave. So the devil's jubilee is going to happen on another Hebrew holy day that goes back to Leviticus 23 that God gave. And the Yom Kippur War took place on the first Saturday of October of 1973. That's going to pinpoint the very first Saturday of October of 2023. And that happens to fall on the date, October 7th, the exact date. And so, and there are countdowns here.
That's so crazy.
Isaiah, there are countdowns that I put in the book that you literally of thousands of days that actually started in the 20th century. When you follow this prophetic countdown, it lands on the morning, that Saturday morning of October 7th to the exact day. So God is in charge, and these are very real mysteries.
Now, I think I asked you this last time you were on, when you realize this and you're sitting down writing the book, you're praying, you're connecting the dots, the Lord is obviously speaking to you through his word and everything else that you're doing. Does this blow your mind? Because when you're saying this, like, my mind is blown when you're sharing the dates and how they line up. And if you guys aren't tracking, you're going to have to rewatch this episode. You're going to have to get the book, because the way these dates line up, and the last few times I had you on, I felt the same way. My mind was like, this is just crazy the way these things line up. And when I say crazy in a good way, does this also shock you when you're connecting these dots and you're doing your research and you're putting all your stuff together, how the dates are so specific, like when you say the 50 years and it lines up exactly on the day and exactly on the day, is it shocking to you when God's revealing this stuff?
Yeah, I would say Isaiah, it's shocking, but not surprising. It's not surprising, but it's shocking. Not surprising only because God keeps doing it, and like, Lord, again, wow. But I'm shocked, I'm overwhelmed, I'm blown away. I'm the first one to be blown away, but it's like, oh Lord, again, you know, I'm there, you're doing it again. I'm blown away. So the Lord blows me away, you know, and so, yeah, I am. The only thing that doesn't shock me is that he's done it, or it doesn't surprise me, it's because he's done it before. So I know he does it, you know, but that's it. You know, I am blown away. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and look, even that, you know, I'm sharing on the Jubilee in Mystery. Okay. On that Friday night was October 6th. Now October 6th is the actual Jubilee anniversary of the beginning of the Yom Kippur War. And I'm sharing about the Jubilee in Mystery, which is saying that things are going to happen again. And the interesting, I won't go through it, but the interesting thing, and one of these things about the prophetic countdown is when you do the countdowns, instead, it doesn't end up on October 6th because of leap year, strange thing with leap years, it ends up going to the Saturday. The exact number of days ends up going to October 7th. You know, so it's amazing, you know, and I'm the first one to be amazed.
That's incredible. I wanted to also touch on something. There's a very popular doctrine. We don't have to go long on this. I know it's kind of a side tangent, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. There's a popular doctrine. I've come out and said it's a false doctrine, it's demonic, but it's replacement theology. And in a nutshell, I'll simplify it real simple. Yeah. It basically says that Israel is no longer unique. It's no longer favored by God. It no longer has meaning. Now the new covenant, the New Testament church has replaced Israel. And now we're all equal and the same in the way God's chosen people. And it kind of throws out a lot of the Old Testament. It throws out the promises of Israel's restoration, of revival in Israel, of God bringing the Jewish people to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. I know, I don't have to even guess. I know you're against replacement theology. I know you would agree with me that it's completely wrong. Maybe for some of those that are in the chat, I know churches teach this. Unfortunately, there's some famous preachers and teachers that have been teaching this. They completely disregard Israel. They do not support Israel at all. They've gotten very political with it, and they just basically say, Israel is no longer God's chosen people. What are your thoughts for those that are maybe involved in replacement theology or have bought into that? Or maybe they're in the chat right now. There's about 3,000 people. Maybe they go to a church where the pastor says, you know, Israel has been replaced by the New Testament church. Could you just give us a little bit of your thoughts on that replacement theology?
Yeah, yeah. The first thing I ask is, where are you getting this? Where in the Bible are you getting this? Where in the Bible does it say God is finished with Israel and he's replaced Israel with the church? Never. So that's the first problem with it. If you're preaching something that the Bible does not even say, number one. Number two, the Bible says everything opposite of that. Yes, the church is where God is working in the church. The church is related to Israel. It's a spiritual body of Israel. It says you're a child of Israel. You don't replace Israel. You're a spiritual, you know, descendant. You're a spiritual grafted in. But no, listen, what does Paul say? I mean, you know, it's number one, you're right. You'd have to take a scissor and you have to take the Bible and you have to cut out like most of the Bible. Because it's in the Old Testament, you have to count, literally. So how can this possibly be kosher or okay? And just, and the other thing is that Paul said, has God, you know, forsaken his people? Is God finished with Israel? He says, God forbid. So, you know, how can you do it? He says, all Israel shall be saved. And the other thing is that the apostles asked Paul and they say, they asked Jesus, they said, is that at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he says, he doesn't say, oh, no, wait a minute. That's all finished. We're in replacement theology now. He says, it's not for you to know when that's going to happen. That is going to happen. And he's coming back and he's not coming back to Rome and he's not coming back to Tulsa. He's coming back to Jerusalem and he's coming back to Jerusalem where there's an Israel. And this, the other thing is that in the prophecies, it says God, he says, say to the nations, he who scattered Israel will gather Israel back. Now, there's nobody in replacement theology who doubts that God scattered Israel. You know, they'll say, yeah, he scattered Israel. So it says the one who scattered Israel is going to gather them back. If he scattered Israel, then he's going to gather back. And he has on top of it. Look, and they're still in the center of the news. And look at all we're talking about. This only could be the hand of God.
That's so great. And you know, guys, there is a great revival happening in Israel right now. There are many people turning to Jesus as their Messiah, acknowledging him as the Messiah, as God. And so be praying for Israel. Be praying for the people that God would open up those. There's many Christians there. There's many Jewish Christians. But be praying that God would open up the eyes to those that reject Jesus as the Messiah, because we are believing for a great revival, not just in America, but also in Israel, that the Lord would move and the Lord would redeem and renew and revive his people once again. There's another thing you talk about. I'm grateful that you shared that, because I know there's people in the chat that were confused about it. So thank you for clearing that up. But you talk about the colors of the apocalypse. Will you share a little bit about how that relates to the dragon's prophecy?
Yeah, you know, in the book of Revelation, there are colors that represent the apocalypse. There's the white horse, the horse, the four horsemen. The white horse represents conquest. The red horse represents war. The black horse, famine. And the green horse, sometimes called the pale, but it's green in Greek, is the one that represents death. So these are the colors of the apocalypse. The amazing thing is, when you look at all these gatherings of hatred of Israel that broke out all over the world in after October 7th, which is weird, because you think they would all be against Hamas, yes, and for the Israeli crazy fathers and mothers and children who were killed. But they were raging against Israel. And the colors of the apocalypse starts manifesting. Where there's hatred of Israel, the colors of the apocalypse manifest. How? Well, they're all gathered around a banner. The banner is the banner of Palestine or the Philistines. What is that? The flag of Palestine is white for the white horse, red for the red horse, black for the black horse, and green for the green horse. The colors of the apocalypse. And every nation that has those colors as their main thing on their flag, it marks them as an enemy of the nation of Israel.
Wow. Wow. The way this all connects, I'm telling you guys, it's mind blowing the way this all connects. Now, you also share about how Ezekiel from the Bible, not like, you know, a YouTuber or anything, but the prophet Ezekiel from the Old Testament talks about a coming invasion. And you believe this might be the next prophetic event. And you talk about this connection to that prophecy. What is the connection and how does Ezekiel foretell a coming invasion?
Yeah, yeah. The Dragon's Prophecy, the largest section of chapters is called The End of Days. And this is where we get into end time prophecy. And one of the things is Ezekiel clearly says that in the last days, in the end days, he actually says that when Israel has come back into the world from all the nations, again, no replacement theology, they're all coming back from the nations, which they have, there's going to be a great invasion of Israel and nations will come together against Israel. It's not Armageddon, but it is like heading to it. The thing is, he identifies nations. He actually gives names, the ancient names, and we can identify a good number of them. And the amazing thing is, the ones that we can identify, it says they're all going to be take part in an invasion of Israel. Do you know what I saw when I looked at this? Each of those nations actually took part in the invasion of Israel of October 7th that Ezekiel names. They each had a part.
Wow.
They were behind Hamas. They funded it. They gave weapons. For the first time ever in history, the nations of Ezekiel actually took part in an invasion of Israel, which is yet to come. But this is, we crossed the line. One of them is Iran, you know, which clearly is an enemy of Israel. But so this has never happened. We are crossing prophetic lines.
And you, speaking of Iran, there's this a crazy event happened. If you guys don't know, the death of the president of Iran. Will you talk a little bit about how does that relate to this? Because it seems to be all these events unfolding all relate to this prophetic, this dragon's prophecy. They're all kind of connected. How is there a connection there when that president died?
Yeah, well, there to set the stage, there is, you know, one of the things that the book is doing again is taking away this veil. So you see the spiritual entities. One of the spiritual entities in the Bible that people don't really think about is something called in Hebrew the Sar Paras. And the Sar Paras is an ancient entity that exists to destroy Israel, come against Israel, war against Israel, particularly in the end times. So when Israel comes back, this entity, because entities don't die, is going to be active in the world. And this entity almost has brought the world to war, world war. And the thing is, this entity, Sar Paras, what does Sar mean? Sar means ruler, master, leader, or general. Paras, what does that mean? It means the nation of Iran. So you've got this entity that is actually named after Iran. And so it's behind Iran. And so you wonder why in the news is Iran so obsessed with destroying Israel? Because it is being moved by an entity that is obsessed with destroying Israel. And the thing is that's why Iran has become the arch enemy of Israel. It's crazy. It makes no sense, but it's demonic. And the thing is, that's why, you know, we just had in the news today, while we're recording this, you know, Hezbollah was in the news. Something happened.
Yes,
you know, well, who is behind Hezbollah? Iran. Who's behind Iran? The Sar Paras, the entity. You know, who's behind, you know, October 7th, Hamas was behind it. Who's behind Hamas? Iran. Who's behind Iran? The Sar Paras. Who's behind the Sar Paras? The dragon. So you've got, so what's happening? But here's the other thing. You know, on the other side, the Bible says there's an entity called the Sar Yisrael, or the defender of Israel that protects Israel. And you know what it is? In Hebrew, his name means who is like God. And his name is pronounced Michael or Michael. Michael is actually the defender of Israel in the last days. The Bible says it. So what happened is, and now Ezekiel says, Iran is going to attack Israel. Well, it's still good to come, but they have never attacked Israel directly. They use others until we crossed the line this spring when Iran sent hundreds of missiles into Israel to bring destruction. And the amazing thing is, you know, almost every one of them was struck down. And some have done statistics saying that couldn't happen by the missiles, by the anti-aircraft system. You know what? You know who's involved also? Michael. There is a defender of Israel. Ooh. So, and this all, it says they war in the heavenlies. Literally, this is all in the sky. And they're warring. And so what's warring in the heavenlies is actually manifesting on earth. When you look at Israel and Iran, that is because it's happening in the heavenlies. And so on the other side in Israel, who's defending Israel? Well, you have the IDF, you know, the Israeli soldiers defending Israel, but behind them is the Tsar Yisrael, Michael. Behind Michael is Messiah, and Messiah is God. So, you know, this is so spiritual. So let me just get, what you said is that, so who is the one who sent these missiles in? It was the president of Iran. He was in charge, first president ever who actually sent missiles to Israel and touched Israel. And you know his name? His name is Ebrahim Raisi. He's named after Abraham, the father of the children of Israel and the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic covenant, his name bears witness. Whatever you do to Israel is going to be done to you. If you curse Israel, you're going to be cursed. Well, he struck Israel. He tried to strike them dead. And the thing is, he touched the apple of God's eye. And so about 30 days after he did it, he was struck down dead. A freak accident, his helicopter comes crashing down. And the thing is, just before he did this, he made a threat. It made headlines. He threatened to annihilate the nation of Israel. Now, that's blasphemy because Israel is God's nation. You cannot annihilate it. But the thing is, the day before he went into that helicopter, it was the Sabbath. And all around the world and in Israel, there's an appointed scripture to be read from the scrolls. So the Jewish people open the scrolls and they read it. The last words of that scripture was, "He who spoke the prophecy shall be struck down." The next day, the one who struck the prophecy, who spoke the blasphemy, was struck down. And you know, in Ezekiel 38, when God says to the nation, the enemies, "I'll bring you against Israel. I'm going to bring you against the mountains," he says, "and you will fall on the mountains." Well, you know, the president of Iran was the first one of those nations to actually strike Israel. When he came down against the mountains. He was brought down upon the mountains. Ooh. God means it. What he says.
Man, I got chills when you say that. Listen, if y'all don't believe that the Lord's still striking kings and leaders that are wicked down, he did Herod in the New Testament. People said, "Oh, that's Old Testament." No, God was still killing people in the New Testament. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. Look at Herod. God struck him dead. He exalted himself above God. He received worship. And so the Lord isn't playing. I remember years ago when we were at war against ISIS, this is many years ago, there was a headline because ISIS was launching missiles into Israel. And one of the headlines was an ISIS fighter, this is like very well known, it was all over the internet, said their God redirects our missiles. And the ISIS fighters were saying they were launching missiles and the missiles were just no Iron Dome, but the missiles were just coming right back to them. And so some of you thought it was just the Iron Dome, but you got Michael the Archangel up there redirecting missiles. The Lord is supernaturally protecting his people once again. And this is a supernatural thing. And I want to also point out, you've been talking, I know there's people in the chat that say, you know, there's Christians that are Palestinian, there's believers, all this. Guys, we're not saying that there's no Christian Palestinians. We're not saying there's no Christians in Gaza. What we are telling you is this attack from Hamas and these terrorists are demonically inspired. They are being used by demonic powers. Many of them probably don't know it. Many of them think they're fighting a righteous war, but the devil is using them and the devil uses people. And just because people don't realize the devil's using them doesn't negate the fact the devil's using them. A lot of these celebrities, they don't know the devil's using them, yet demonic spirits are using them to push forth their own agenda. And so people don't have to acknowledge being used by the devil for the devil to use them as pawns. And for a lot of this, sadly, the devil is using these people to further his agenda. But as you just said, the Lord is protecting his people. I want to talk about the connection between the Temple Mount, October 7th, the Antichrist, and the five red cows. And you talk about this in your book. You call it the secret of the mount. And once again, I've linked the book in the description. I'm going to keep saying that because we can't get to everything. There's so much that we can talk about. Just get the book. Just order the book on Amazon. Order on Jonathan's website. I have them both linked in the description. You can get deeper on this, but just share with us a little bit about the secret of the mount.
Yeah. And let me say something to that too. You know, and it's good. Listen, in Beth Israel, our congregation, we have Palestinian believers and we love them. It's about, but the enemy can use nations and they can use peoples. And let me give you an example of that. But I didn't say, you know, and speaking of that, and you're right, they don't know they're being used. The thing is that there is in the Revelation, the dragon spews a flood against the woman. You know, he tries to flood her away from his mouth, flood of water, right? Well, you know, what did Hamas, you know, that invasion, you know what it's called by Hamas? They have a name for it. They call it Operation Tufan. In Arabic, you know what Tufan means? It means the flood, as in the flood of the dragon. They don't know it, but they're doing it. Okay, and speaking of which, the secret of the mount. You know, the Temple Mount is the ground zero of end time prophecy. That's where it's all going to come. That's where the temple's going to be. That's where the Antichrist is going to go to defile it and sit as God. That's where Messiah is going to rule from. So you know the enemy is going to war over this mountain. The dragon is going to try to possess it. And he does, because he would try to keep any Jewish person off that mountain, that no Jewish person can pray on the Temple Mount. That's pretty much what it is right now. That's where all the prayers were, but no Jewish person is allowed. If the Muslims have it, basically, but the enemy is there. So if anything threatens that mount, that reign of the enemy, that dominion, the enemy is going to go crazy. All hell's going to break loose. Well, people don't know a secret here, and that is that before all this happened, something happened on a Hebrew holy day on that mountain. What happened is there was a rumor that Jewish people are going to go up on the mountain and celebrate a Hebrew holiday of God, Passover, and with a lamb. And so all hell broke loose on that mountain. Everything went violence. And at that moment, Hamas, it issued a threat to Israel and said, you're going to pay for this. Now, the thing is, it was the dragon speaking, because October 7th was the dragon's answer to what happened on the Temple Mount. It was his fury. And the thing is, even Hamas said it. When they issued their statement, they said, we did this because of what happened on the Temple Mount. They even called their operation, not only Operation Flood, but they named it after the Temple Mount. So this is all prophecy. And they even spoke about the red cow, the red heifers. They even spoke about that, saying who would be threatened by cows? Only the enemy, because he knows what that means. It's the rebuilding of the temple. Oh. But let me tell you this also, you know, not only that, not only is the Temple Mount behind it, but the Temple Mount prophecy was behind 9/11. When 9/11 happened, Bin Laden issued the statement explaining why he did it. And you know what he said? The almost word for word what Hamas said, it was like the devil speaking. He said, it's because what you tried to do on our mount. And the same thing. So 9/11 is the enemy's fury, and so is October 7th.
Wow, that is so powerful. I just have a couple more, and then we're going to say prayer for those listening. You talk about in your book throughout the dragon's attack on Israel, the dragon's attack, who, if you guys are just jumping on, the dragon is Satan. It's the devil. It's the one that is the adversary of our soul. But you talk about his war on Israel, his war on the church. But then also, will you explain a little bit about the dragon's war on each of us? Like, how do we play into this entire thing? And how is the dragon's hatred against each of us as well?
Yeah, we're all dealing with the dragon. You know, it's not just Israel. That's like the dramatic sign of it. But it says in the same chapter in Revelation 12, it says he also made war against the rest of her children. The rest of the children of Israel, they're not Israel, they're children of Israel. That's you, everybody listening, who loves Jesus. You are a child of Israel. He's war in the end days. He's going to war against Israel. And physically, he's going to war against the church spiritually to persecute the church. So we are in this. We're in this together. But on top of it, if maybe you're watching this and you're not a believer, you're not Jewish, you're not Christian, Well, if you are in the image of God, from the moment you were conceived, the enemy has been waging a war against your life.
Come on.
He wants to destroy you. Some of you, he wanted to enslave you, put you in bondage, addict you, depress you, abuse you, wound you, take you from God or not let you go to God. He's doing that. So we are all involved in this war. And the thing is that we need to fight this war. And so the last part of the dragon's prophecy is, how is the enemy, how is this war involving all of us, and how do we fight against it? Which is the final thing, because it's not just Israel fighting. We are all in this together.
That's so good. And I wanted to talk quickly about, you also discussed the dragon and the lamb. How does this reveal Bible prophecy? Talk a little bit about the dragon and the lamb, and then we'll give a word of encouragement and close up.
Yeah. In the book of Revelation, you know, it doesn't just talk about the dragon. It talks about the lamb. Lamb is the sign of Messiah. And the dragon and the lamb are fighting. Now, most people, if they saw a dragon fighting a lamb, they put their money on the dragon. But this lamb wins. The lamb wins. You know, the evil always comes like a dragon. Fierce, overwhelming, like the culture, what we all deal with. Good comes like the lamb. It looks like the underdog. Doesn't look like it's going to win, but it does win. You know, the dragon is, you know, is reptilian, it's cold-blooded. That reptiles cannot persevere. Evil cannot last. It cannot last. But the good always lasts. So in the end, you know, it is the lamb who prevails. And it says, it's that very chapter, Isaiah, that it says, but they overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the lamb. And so the thing is that, and that word for overcome is really cool, because it's in the Greek, it's written for the future in the past tense. In other words, the overcoming is good as done, but you cannot overcome if you don't fight. You got to fight the good fight. And the thing is that, and so you will win in the end. Yes. Good must win. So even if we're in the underdogs, that's fine. We are on the side of the lamb. If you're following the lamb, Jesus, you are going to win. And you got to remember that. You are not on the losing side. It doesn't matter what the dragon looks like. You are with the lamb. And the other thing is that I say something. There's a chapter there, what is called The Mystery of the Secret Israelis. And the Bible says that if you're born again, you are a spiritually Jewish. You are a spiritual Israeli. And now, what are the Israelis? What do they teach us? When they came back to the land, they weren't fighters. They didn't know how to fight. They weren't allowed to fight for years. When they came back, they said, if we don't fight, we are going to be wiped off. Well, that's physical. But everyone watching, in the end times, you must become a spiritual Israelite, a spiritual fighter. You are called to fight. That means you don't let the enemy do what he wants. You say no, you fight it. You don't let what the enemy wants to do in your culture, in your house, in your home, in your family, in your life, in your walk. You say no, you fight. You get up, you fight in the power of the Lamb. And if you fight in the power of the Lamb, you will win in the power of the Lamb. And the other thing to say, one kind of last encouragement for, because again, the last part is all about our fight and how do you overcome. But I want to bring it all together, because we've been talking about Israel, but that has to do with every one of us. And the thing is this, think about this. This is a sign that God has given us. And that is, you know, for 4,000 years, the devil's been trying to destroy this nation, this little Israel. Most of that time, they had no defense. They had no army, they had nothing. And the thing is, the Pharaohs tried it. Assyria tried it. Babylon, Rome, Hitler, the Soviet Union, the terrorists. But the Pharaohs are gone. Assyria is fallen. Babylon has crumbled. Rome has collapsed. Hitler is gone. They're all gone, but the nation of Israel lives, because the God of Israel lives, because the Messiah of Israel lives, and because the people of God will live. If you are following the Messiah of Israel, you will live, you will persevere, you fight the good fight, you keep going, and he has promised you victory. Slay your dragon by the power of the Lamb.
Come on. I love it. Let me say a quick prayer for those of you watching live, and then we'll talk about where to get the book, and then I'll take up an offering after I get Jonathan off, and I'll take some time here to talk to you guys once Jonathan's off the call. But let me just say a prayer for you guys. Father, we just come before you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we ask that you would just empower your people tonight. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill your people with power. We pray, Lord, that you would break the spirit of fear off of us. Lord, that so many people are fearful, they're timid, they're afraid to speak truth, they're afraid to speak what the word says, they're afraid of getting canceled. But I pray, Lord, right now that your word says that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so we break the timid spirit off. We pray right now that boldness would come upon you, that you would be bold for God at work. You'd be bold for God at school. You'd be bold for God in your family, that you declare the word of God and the works of God, and the hand of God would be on your life. Father, we pray over everybody watching that you would release favor over them, that you'd release blessing over them, God, that you'd release that same covenant you made with Abraham, that you are a covenant-keeping God, and that you said you will bless your people to prove that the covenant with Abraham is eternal. Lord, we are your chosen people. We have been grafted into the vine. Lord, thank you for grafting us in. Those that are Gentiles, you've grafted us in to the vine. And Lord, we thank you. We honor what you're doing in the earth, Lord. We thank you for your hand of protection on our families. And I pray, Lord, that you would wake people up tonight. I pray those watching live on the replay, wake them up from their spiritual slumber. Lord, we know the enemy has lulled so many to sleep, that there's so many foolish virgins that have no oil in their lamps. But Lord, you are sounding the alarm tonight, that this is a Joel 2 moment. You're blowing the trumpet in Zion, sounding the alarm on your holy mountain, and all the inhabitants of the earth are trembling, for the day of the Lord is approaching. Lord, sound the alarm tonight. God, tonight you've woken us up. Lord, you've opened up our eyes, and we honor you, Jesus. And I pray lastly, that this stream, this broadcast would get people in the word. I pray that if anything, it would get people hungry for the scripture, hungry for the word of God. Lord, give them an appetite. No more appetite for junk food. No more appetite for TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Netflix. But Lord, give us an appetite for your word. Give us an appetite for prayer. Lord, call us to fasting. I pray people would hear the call tonight to start a fast, to fast for America, to fast for Israel, to fast for the world. Lord, I pray tonight, awaken us. Lord, anoint us. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jonathan, thank you so much for being on. How can they find your ministry? I know I've already said a bunch of times it's linked, the book's linked down below. Is there any other links that we can give them or places they can find you?
Well, the ministry that I lead is hopeoftheworld.org. If you just remember hopeoftheworld.org, and there's free, we send out prophetic updates, free mysteries, messages. All my messages are there. Outreach to the world. So if you just go on there, you'll get a lot of free stuff. Hopeoftheworld.org. The book looks like this. I'm sure you have it up. It's a dragon there. It says Israel, the dark resurrection and the end of days. It's literally everywhere. I mean, on Amazon right now, anybody can get online, but also it's in Walmart and really Target and, you know, Barnes and Noble. It's everywhere. But I pray people don't not only get it for themselves, but get it for people in your life who need to be woken up, need to know and need to be ready. Because we're in those times. So that's what I'm praying for.
And it's amazing that, guys, what we talked about tonight, this goes completely against the woke agenda. This goes completely against what the world's doing. Yet God, in his sovereignty and his grace and his favor, has gotten this book. And when you read this book is not, this is not the popular opinion of what's happening. This goes right against the devil's agenda. Yet God has gotten this book into, like you said, Walmart and Target. All of these big secular brands have this book on their shelf at Amazon, the number one book on Amazon. Millions of people are seeing it because it's on the Amazon number one list in multiple categories. So praise the Lord. Let's just thank God for that, that Amen. This message is so needed. And hey, this message could be just not reaching only but 1,000 people, but the Lord has taken your message and just shouted it from the rooftops. And so we're so grateful to the Lord that he's gotten this message out there to millions of people, because very easily could this have been drowned out, could have been banned. We could have been banned off YouTube, but by the grace of God, we're able to reach millions of people on these platforms. And so I'm so grateful that this information is getting out there. Jonathan, thank you so much. I know it's 10 o'clock where you live right now. It's very late. And so I just want to thank you and honor you. I'll get you off here. I'll stay on with them for a little bit, but thank you so much for being on the call and the stream. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Isaiah. And I love being on with you. You are just a wonderful man of God. And I give honor to your ministry that God has given you. We'll connect. God bless you.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks.
God bless.
Bye.
Guys, let's sow into his ministry. I want to sow into his ministry. It's the right thing to do. I already told you guys, when he's on here, my mind's blown. It's powerful. The anointing there, the revelation, the prophetic words. I want to sow. He didn't ask for anything. He never asked for anything. He's extremely humble. I mean, if you couldn't tell that, he's extremely humble. But it's the right thing to do to sow in these ministries. He's an absolute legend. He's a forerunner. He's a pioneer. He's just a legend. So if this blessed you, Sow Something. What's up, Radar Apologetics? I know you'll like tonight, bro. If you haven't seen the whole thing, go back and rewatch it. But yeah, he's an absolute legend. So I want to sow into his ministry to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Just amazing, amazing, amazing what the Lord is doing with him. No, not only do I want you guys to pre-order the book, well, not pre-order, is to order the book. I keep saying pre-order because my book's on pre-order. But I want you guys to also sow something. All the links to give are there. If you're brand new, pray about becoming a monthly partner. We're basically crowdfunded, so all of our income comes from the viewers. Our content is free, and then people give monthly to the ministry. If you want to become a monthly partner, you can either scan the QR code or go to isaiahsaldivar.com/partner, and you will get 70 sermons from me. You'll get 20% off our merch store. You'll get invited to our Thursday at 1:30 p.m. prayer calls. So they've moved from Monday to Thursday starting next Thursday. We pray together every single week, and it is fuego. Telling you right now. So yeah, you can sign up right now and I'll send you a personal email. I really appreciate those of you guys supporting the ministry. We just couldn't do this without you guys. We're on episode, what episode is this, guys? If you know, type it in the chat. It is 184. We peaked at about 3,500 live viewers tonight. Episode 184. We're still here 5 years later. Okay, I didn't think we'd make it to episode 10, but here we are. Episode 184. By the grace of God, we've gotten banned many times on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook. We've lost all of our monetization on every platform but YouTube because we do things like this, because we share things like this. You know, it is what it is. Every time we speak out against what the devil's doing, people get mad. People want to deplatform us. It's just crazy, but we have to keep speaking truth. We're never going to sacrifice speaking truth on the altar of relevancy, popularity, being afraid of getting canceled. We just have to continue to speak forth the truth. And so amazing how many people we had on the live. You know, it's not like it was during the pandemic. It's a lot harder to get people on the live streams, but we're just believing God and we're continuing to push forth the ministry and get in the Bible, guys. Get in the Word of God. Everything we're talking about is found there. Get a hunger for Scripture. You don't have to take it from us. Take it from the Word of God. So there's the links to give. I'll read some of these donations in a minute. I'll let you guys give Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, Zelle. It's all there on screen. The mods are posting in the comments. So make sure that you guys do that. I actually do have to do one thing really quick. I forgot to do something that's very, very important. So let me do that on my end. If you guys have any thoughts, let me know what you guys thought about tonight. Go ahead and type, what did you think about tonight? Is it mind-blowing to you guys too when he starts connecting all the dots here? Like it blows my mind when he starts sharing all these connections, how the dates line up. I mean, I know it's cliche to say, but you cannot make this stuff up, guys. You cannot make, if you haven't seen our Return of the Gods stream, you need to go watch that. The Return of the Gods is literally mind-blowing. And I don't say that in like a lighthearted way. It's mind-blowing, the connections here. So he's definitely a legend. He's definitely a legend. He's very, very special. And I just thank God that we've been able to be friends with him. I'm grateful I met him there in the airport that day. Charisma linked us up. Just amazing, amazing, amazing what the Lord is doing. All right. Okay. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Dude, it's crazy and so awesome. It was awesome. Let me read some comments here just for a little bit. Praise the Lord. Brings unity. Amen. Push the like button. Yes, if you haven't liked the stream, I haven't asked that in like a year. But yeah, if you haven't liked the broadcast, please like the broadcast. I'm late. What's the name of the book? The Dragon's Prophecy. The Dragon's Prophecy. Please, everybody, give something. Don't dine and dash if you could afford it. If you can't afford it, just enjoy for free. But if you could afford to give, even if it's $1, $5, doesn't matter. If everybody gives, I'll be able to sow into his ministry and bless him. So thank you, guys. I do have a book coming out since you're all here. This book comes out in November called How to Cast Out Demons. And you can get this on Amazon. Pre-order comes out the second week. Comes a week after the election. So get this on Amazon. It's awesome, and it took me a lot of time to write it and a lot of years. So help us out. Help us out. Pre-order the book tonight as well. Thank you, guys. My mentor and sister in Christ goes to his ministry. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, let me read Humble Legend. Yeah, he is very humble. Let me read some of these donations here. We'll start with the Venmo. We got a little bit of time. Jared and Candace will be going live in about 15 minutes. So we're going to have worship and prayer after the stream. If you're on YouTube and you have autoplay, it'll send you there automatically. I'll also post the link in a bit in the comments because we're going to have worship and prayer after the stream. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's read some of these. Again, thank you guys for giving and sowing so I can keep bringing these guests on. I will not bring a guest on and not sow into their ministry. So you guys giving enables us to keep doing this. I'm not going to have people on and not sow. It's just the right thing to do. It's biblical. All right, Amy Barber, thank you so much, sister, for that generous donation. Izzy Pad, thank you, sister, for the generous donation on Venmo. Julie Kish, thank you. Christiana, is it Christiana? Christiana Line, thank you so much. Caroline Mojica, absolute legend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ruth, thank you so much. Morgan Billings, thank you. Josiah, my brother. Salute to the legend. Thank you, Josiah. Shelby Thigpen, thank you so much. Brenda Props, the legend. Thank you so much, Brenda. All right, let me load this here while it's loading. Let me take a drink of water. This is like the largest water bottle. What are these water bottles? Look at how large this is. This water bottle's, I got a long neck and a big head, and this is a big water bottle. All right, let's go to the Cash App. My Cash App is Isaiah Luke Saldivar. All right, let's see what we got going here. See what we got going. Let me thank these people here. Okay, okay, okay. Here we go. Here we go. That's yesterday. All right. Oliaku, thank you so much, sister. Alexander Baltz, thank you. Christy Swanson, thank you. Nicholas Hayes, thank you. Justice, thank you. And how do I say this? Annie Ellis? Annie Ellis, thank you so much. Evie V, salute. Thank you. Lindsay, thank you. Lee Ayagaric, thank you. Terry Cunningham, thank you. Lori, thank you. Steve Douglas, thank you. Christy Swanson, thank you. Christy, didn't you just give on Venmo too? I don't know, but thank you. Julie Babin, thank you. Natalie Travis, thank you. I got the hiccups from that water. All right. I hear my kids playing in the hallway right now. Okay, let's see, let's see, let's see. We are on PayPal now. Does anybody give on PayPal? We're going to see right now. I don't know if anybody even gives here. Yosef, thank you, brother. Kelly Lucero, thank you, sister. Cassandra, thank you. Deidre, thank you so much. Ponda, thank you. Sally, thank you. Come on, load. You can do it, PayPal. I believe in you. I believe in you. Marissa, thank you so much. Constantino, thank you. Rhonda, thank you. Vanessa Gomez, thank you. Loretta, thank you. Let's see, what else do we got here? All right, those are all of the ones on PayPal. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, and I'm going to be sending him something tonight. So I'll be sending it through his website. And yeah, whatever comes in, we'll be sending him and blessing his ministry. So thank you guys. Okay, we got about 10 more minutes to hang out with you guys. We will, starting next week. I apologize again if you didn't know. I apologized last night, but I'll apologize again. I was sick this last weekend. I was supposed to be in Alabama and Georgia. We've moved that to October. You can go to my website. It'll be the same service times, just in October. I think it's the 10th through the 13th. So I will be back. I apologize for that. It was a really crazy situation. Ricky, let me check. Did your Cash App go through? Let me check. Let me check. Let me check. But yes. Yes, it did, Ricky. Thank you. Anthony Flint, thank you. Aaron Presley, thank you. Eve, thank you. Brittany, thank you. Evan, thank you. All the Cash App people. You guys are great. Okay, so anyways, I apologize for that. I'll be back there in October, the same dates. And then I already talked about the book. Oh, new schedule. Starting next week, we will be live Monday night, as usual, Tuesday night, as usual, and Thursday at noon. Yes, we're bringing it back. Summertime, we don't go live on Thursday, but it's coming back. Thursday at noon, we will be live. And then at 1:30 p.m., all of the monthly partners from YouTube Partnerships and my website, you will be on the Zoom prayer call with us. We'll have 1:30 p.m. prayer call starting next Thursday. So thank you guys. Did you make it? No, we're at the end of the broadcast. We have 10 more minutes and we will be sending you guys to Jared and Candace's. We'll be sending you guys there for worship and prayer. Let me post that link here. Let me post that link. This is where we're going. I'm going to put going here soon. Okay, that's where we're going soon. Am I still playing pickleball? Yes. I still love pickleball. Next month will be a year of playing. Who's at the door? Who is that? Hold on 1 second, okay? 1 second, guys. Someone's at my door. Hold on. It was my kids at the door. Banging on my door. I love you guys are doing. Thank you, Ricky. People need to wake up and get right. Absolutely. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Will you ever be in Michigan? All right, guys, the only dates I have. Oh, let me also say, the Breakers Conference is almost sold out. So register for the Breakers Conference. It's in the Now Arena in Chicago, October 26th. There's about 1,000 tickets left. This seats 10,000 people. This is going to be historic. This is the first time they're going to have mass deliverance in an arena like this, okay? All of us Demon Slayers are going to be there. Mike Signorelli, Pastor Vlad, Apostle Alexander Pagani, and me. Don't miss that. October, you got to get there. October 26th, the Breakers Conference. It's going to be historic. It's going to be huge. Literally. I'm not kidding. Get your tickets. Chicago, we're coming to you. Okay, so the only dates I have. Alabama and Georgia. Go to my website. Breakers Conference in Chicago, which I need to add that to my website. Why is that on my website yet? What is going on with me? All right, anyways. And then I will be in Mesa, Arizona in January. Those are the only dates I have right now. That's it. I don't have any other dates. I'll add dates soon, but those are all my dates. Thank you, Carrie, for the Cash App. Why do they say that Christ and Krishna are the same person? Well, whoever says that is deceived. They're not the same person. Can you get the book in stores? Yes. Pretty much everywhere books are sold. Everywhere books are sold. PayPal, yeah, you can find me on PayPal. It's paypal.me/Isaiah Saldivar. Or hit the link, the pinned comment. Airfare booked, amazing. Yeah, the Chicago event, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be historic, guys. I'm not kidding. It's one day, fly out there one day, all day Saturday. Arizona, I'll be in Mesa at Without Walls Church. I'll be at Life Song soon, God willing. Again, pray about becoming a monthly partner. We need support. Thank you, guys. As I said, the partnership goes up and down, up and down. So we need your guys' support. You can partner on the website, isaiahsalvar.com/partner. Talk to your spouse. Say, hey, let's do $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever. We all partner with Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and whatever else you partner with monthly. Apple Music, Spotify. All right. HelloFresh Box. I don't know, whatever you guys are partnering with. Partner with the ministry. Go to my website. Dawson, Georgia will be 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. My uncle's doing good and my brother Nico's doing good. You miss his laughter? I know. I missed the live podcast. We'll do them soon. I miss his laugh in the background. Are health testimonies to be taken seriously? Yes, absolutely. I actually have a hell testimony coming out probably this week. Don't vote for her. She's demonic. Facts. Facts. These people are... I'll just say this. Anybody, not just Harris, anybody that is fine with, in support of abortion is demonized, is demonic, is satanic, is evil, is wicked, is nefarious, insidious... I don't know the words to say, satanic. Anybody that is for the murder of babies is satanic. So if you are for the murder of babies, you are demonic. You are. You. If you're in the chat and you're for abortion, you are demonic. And I'm unapologetic about that. And I know people like get mad and cancel their partnerships and send me emails. Email me how mad you are and I'll delete it. Okay, because I'll keep speaking out for the unborn. I'll keep speaking out about abortion. It's the greatest sin in the world right now, period. Nothing even comes close to the sin of abortion. The dragon's trying to keep the White House? Yeah. I mean, these people, literally, full term. They're pushing abortion laws full term. That's not demonic. You do not know what demonic is. Seriously, though. I'll post where we're going when they go live. All right. I don't have any other dates. I'm not going to answer when I'm going to be there because I don't know. Amen, amen, amen. Post-birth murder is horrid and it's happening all the time. Some girl, I just shared this on my Instagram story. She called an abortion clinic and said, oh yeah, I just wanted to know if I can get a full term abortion because she was lying. She wasn't really pregnant, but she was seeing what they were going to say. And she said, my baby's Down syndrome. Can I get a full term abortion? They're like, oh yeah. oh yeah, we do that. It's very common. She said on the phone, is this common to get full-term abortions? And they're like, yeah, it's very common. So guys, it's demonic. It's happening. It's just crazy. I don't know. It's nauseating thinking about it. We got to speak forth, right? We got to speak forth. And honestly, people that get mad when I say that, I don't even want you following me, to be honest. I don't want anybody that's for the murder babies even a part of our community, to be honest with you. So I don't really care. You ever think about doing a workshop? What do you mean by a workshop? Like in person? I'm going to be doing one in Alabama. I'll be doing one in Mobile, Alabama. I'm sorry, not Mobile. Birmingham, Alabama. I'll be doing a workshop for Deliverance from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I'll be doing one. I think that's October 11th. Just go to my website. It's there. I haven't heard of Jurex, no. I love how unspoken you are. Thank you. I will never be filtered, y'all. When it comes to spiritual gifts, deliverance, abortion, doesn't matter what topic, I'm going to say it how it is, how I believe it is, and I am not going to apologize. I'm unapologetic about the truth. That's the bottom line. You cancel me, get mad, make videos, I don't care. Does not matter. When I spoke in support of Israel, people were getting mad and canceling this and canceling that, unfollowing and subscribing. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm just going to speak what the word says. Oh, a workshop where I hang out with you for the day. I would love to do something like that. But yeah, I will be doing it 10 to 2 and there will be lunch as well. So I mean, that's the closest we're going to get to a workshop. I mean, it is a workshop. That'll be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. A deliverance workshop in Birmingham, Alabama. Jonathan Kahn, I mean, he's on another level. He's on another level. Yes, I'm still friends with Pastor Locke. Yes. I will be voting for the candidate that is against abortion. That will not be trying to overturn Roe v. Wade or reinstate Roe v. Wade. That's who I'll be voting for. So whoever that is, that's who I'm voting for. All right, this is where we're going. We are going here in about 30 seconds. Okay. If you're on Facebook, there's the link. We're going there for worship and prayer in 30 seconds. I'm going to go have dinner with my kids. Alabama trip is Friday night, Saturday morning, and then Sunday morning in Georgia. These names. Dawsonville. How do you do it and not feel drained? Do what? Like live streaming and stuff? No, I don't charge to teach or do deliverance. All right, they are live. Let's all go there. Let's all go there. Let's bring a big crowd tonight. Let's bring a big crowd tonight. There's 1,800 of you in here on Facebook and YouTube. Let's show up strong. I love you guys so much. I'll be live on Monday. I'll have videos coming out this weekend and this week. And then starting next week, we'll be live 3 times a week. Love you so much. Thanks for partnering, sowing, giving. If you monthly partnered, I'll send you an email tonight. Let's go to Jared and Candace's now. Love you guys. Bye. Love you guys. Have a good night. Go to Jared and Candace's now. Here you go. Love you guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.